Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. I wanted to hear from you tonight. The call-in number is 646-929-2037. Once again, call-in number is 646-929-2037. Call me now! I never can get that right. Anyway, if you're too shy to call, feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. I will read your emails, questions, comments, concerns. I'm a nice guy like that. Once again, that's dick@smoothdrama.com. And if you just so happen, if you're listening to me on the blog talk, feel free to jump into the chat room and say your piece. Say hi. Say bye. Say whatever. I'm open. And if you happen to be lucky enough to be watching me on live stream at www.livestream.com/sdrama, you get the unique opportunity to see my face that is made for radio. There's nothing quite like it. I promise you. Anyway, they have a chat room there also, so feel free to jump in there. And I am a social networker. You can see me on Facebook. I'm Dick Hugger on Facebook. I'm Dick Hugger on Tagged. I'm Dick Hugger on MySpace. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Smooth Drama. I'll talk to you. I'll holler at you. I have a good time. As anybody who's ever interacted with me on Facebook or Twitter or Tagged or MySpace will tell you, I can socially network with the best of them. Not quite as good as the city of San Diego, though. I mean, I used to live in San Diego, now located in the Bay Area. I guess it's a good thing that, well, not that I was homeless, but San Diego just passed a law where they can ticket homeless people who sleep on the street corners and doorways. But there's a trick to it. Peep this. They have to have beds available to them, the homeless do. And if they do, then the police have the power to lock them up. Funny thing is, in San Diego, there have been no beds available. So the elected officials of San Diego, you know, the Mensa, the people who are the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme intellectuals that they are, they plan to make a handful of downtown beds available each night in hopes of giving the police the power to enforce the new lodging law, meaning you can't sleep outside if there's beds available. Now, how in the hell would you know that there are beds available? I don't know. There's no outline on there. Like, they'll be passing out flyers, hey, there's beds available. I guess what the homeless will have to do is to walk around through every shelter and check manually to see if there are beds available. Even though they haven't outlined when and how they're going to make those beds available, which is funny within itself, because basically you're going to make the beds available by throwing out somebody who's homeless already, thus creating the same situation that you're trying to get away from, so you'd have the opportunity to arrest somebody for the situation that you created in the first place. I don't know about anybody else, but that shit kind of makes no sense to me. You're going to make the beds available by kicking somebody homeless out the bed so that you can arrest homeless people because they had no bed in the first place. San Diego, the kinder and gentler San Diego, the city that loves its citizens so much that when you're doing bad, they will arrest your ass. Isn't that nice of them? And luckily, just in time for those people in San Diego, if they're Catholic, what they can do, the iPhone has just created a new application for them. So in essence, you can do a confessional on your iPhone. There's an iPhone app for that now. So for those people who are enforcing the law down in San Diego, you know, those kind, gentle politicians and policemen who have huge compassion in their hearts for those less fortunate than them. After they arrest them, they can get on their iPhone or iPad and use the app and confess their sins. Yeah. And, you know, offer their personal examination of conscience, as it's called. And it gives you a step-by-step guide to sin confessing. Isn't that lovely? So, all you Catholics out there, hey, be ready. You are now stars. I mean, you, whatever you do is golden now. And especially them with the whole new law that's going to punish those people who have nothing going for them, because that's what they deserve. After you punish them and you feel bad about it, you can confess. Isn't that convenient? Technology at its finest, baby. Oh, speaking of technology at its finest, I don't know if anybody's heard or read Mississippi. You know, the more we go forward, the more we go backwards. Yes, Mississippi right now is in a fight over the proposal where they're going to issue out specialty license plates honoring Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was an early leader of the Ku Klux Klan. Of course, the Mississippi Division of the Sons of Confederate Veterans wants to sponsor the state series issued license plate to mark the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, which it, of course, calls the war between the states. So, and the group is proposing that a different design each year between now and 2015, with Forrest slated for 2014. Now, never has there been a a war lost had been celebrated and commemorated so much concentrated on that loss. I mean, and the fact that they want to honor their Confederate veterans, I guess is admirable. I guess, you know, those license plates for the KKK. And, you know, here I was all this time, I was a little nervous because I had always wanted one. And I didn't know how people would react to that, because it'd be something that I had to have specially made. But now in Mississippi, I can go down there, I can just order one and it'd be no problem. I can have my Civil War Memorial specially license plate where I can celebrate my love for the Sons of the Confederacy. I mean, seriously? who celebrates? Is it something in the water in the South and nowhere else where these people will celebrate a loss? I mean, you don't see the British celebrating how they lost in the Revolutionary War. You don't see the French celebrating when they lost, you know, when Napoleon lost at Waterloo. Hey, nobody's celebrating that. Nobody celebrates losses except for the people in the Deep South. I mean, it you can see that it's hurting them deep inside that they lost, which is funny to me because you'd think they wouldn't be celebrating something like that. I mean, walk with me for a second. It is something that's going on today, and I plan on getting into this a little bit later on also, but the Confederates were the pawns of the rich and the wealthy. I mean, these dudes was fighting for slavery, but y'all didn't have no money to own slaves. I mean, it's sort of like y'all were like the progenitors of the Tea Party, where you're fighting for the rights and the well-being of the rich and the wealthy. You're fighting for their causes. I mean, because what? 1-2% had plantations and could afford to own slaves. The rest of you was just some poor bastards fighting out their war. And I mean, it's sort of like if there was a war between pimps and hoes and the hoes lost, would they celebrate it? I mean, this is what this is. The Confederate hoes, who were the hoes to the pimps, who was actually, you know, Jefferson Davis and his cabinet, they were the pimps. You're running on the agenda. Fight the Union, ho, so that I can stay rich. You're fighting for them to stay rich and wealthy, and you got what? I mean, I've never understood it. Still don't. But, hey, it's not for me to understand. But I guess I can get a commemorative license plate and just hold it and squeeze it and love it and rub it all over me and feel better about a loss, I guess. If I was the son of a Confederate veteran, that's what I would do, I guess. Just hold it and kiss it at night. And when I go in, I look at it longingly like, I miss you, but I will see you tomorrow, I guess. Anyway, on that note, I'm going to go into my first break with some Immortal Technique. That's What It Is, off his album, Third World.
Together you got smooth, smooth.
welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Immortal Technique. That's what it is, off his album Third World. Speaking of Third World, down in South Carolina, they're going to ban prisoners from being Facebook users. I don't find it hard to believe, but I think that it's a sad day when you have guys in jail who can be on Facebook, social networking sites, have cell phones. I mean, aside from the anal rape, well, the threat of anal rape, prison is a great place, right? But I mean, it's no laughing matter. When Representative Wendell Gilliard had to introduce a bill that would make it unlawful for an inmate to be a member of any internet social networking site and would provide a penalty on conviction for the offense. Now, we have filters. There are internet filters. You think that if any place would be filtered, it would be the jails. I mean, there's some common sense in here. You know, like I believe Willie D said it a long time ago, intelligence is on call. You know, we got to dial intelligence up. Would it be a good idea for killers to be able, well, killers and rapists and, you know, people who harm people, however they harmed them, to be able to hit up their victims on the social networking site? I mean, I think it would be a bad idea, but I'm, you know, not that I'm an expert or anything, but I mean, I pretend to be one on the air, but wouldn't it be smart? I think most people would agree that killers, murderers, rapists, bank robbers, it's not good for them to be on social networks to torture their victims. I don't know. It seems like it would be a good idea. I don't know if anybody else thinks it's a good idea, but I know I do. And I'm thinking people who find someone who murdered a relative or raped, molested a relative, probably not be that appreciative of the fact their tormentor is on the internet just making friends. I friend you. I don't know, I thought jail was supposed to be a bad place. They on the internet. I mean, we look at it. Jail, they got cable. Jail, they got the internet. You know, you got the gym. You can work out. You got free universal health care. I mean, aside from the threat of murder, disfigurement, and rape, it's not that bad a place, right? I don't know. Speaking on bad places, I guess over in Malawi, which is over in the southeast part of what they call Africa, there a few senior officials are arguing over whether or not this bill should include a provision that outlaws breaking wind in public. It would criminalize flatulence to promote public decency. We can't have that shit here, can we? I mean, Lord knows, you know, you follow a few folks in the store, they cut and don't care, and they'll just leave it sitting there. Yes, over in Malawi, they will take your ass to jail for that. They say, because they say over there, it's fouling the air, meaning pollution. Yeah. Fouling the air. Good old pollution. We're going to stop people from farting in public. Like, they have, they're like the bastion of health over there. Like, people have an abundance of running clean water and they can bathe and all that. I'm thinking flatulence is probably one of the lesser evils going on over there. I guess to each their own. I think that's funny. I also think it's funny that Lindsay Lohan, speaking of flatulence, Lindsay Lohan in court again, and normally I wouldn't talk about it. I think there's a real simple solution here. Just put her ass in jail. I mean, drunk driving. She assaulted someone in the Betty Ford clinic that she was in. Now she stole. That's like three strikes. I thought California had like three strikes and that was it. Or maybe it's like the terrible TV star rule. If you make terrible shows, you can't go to jail in Hollywood. I mean, I don't know about anybody else. I guess she's a star, but I haven't seen anything that she was in where I'm like, man, we can't have Lindsay Lohan go to jail because then this show won't come on. I mean, is she really that indispensable to society? But we got to have her. Do we? I'm thinking not. But once again, that's me. I'm not an expert. I'm just pretending to be one on TV. Well, streaming live. Speaking of streaming live, man, I know most folks have seen old boy Mubarak over in Egypt say, you know what? I'm going to step down. I'm going to transfer power over to my assistant. And that's going to be it. Only I'm going to stay in my mansion and I'm going to stay getting money out the coffers. And there ain't a goddamn thing you can do about it. Be mad. I don't care. I was in the army, which is pretty much what he was saying today. And you know why he said it, because, once again, when I was talking about Big Pimpin', his Big Pimpin' homies, the real gangsters, I mean, because, you know, we have a culture here where we talk about gangster rappers, you know, and these gangsters and these dudes is real hood, real thug. Nah. The real thugs is these sheiks and rulers who are on top, who run the country and control the army, and folks kill on their command. You know, rapping, I mean, Mubarak ain't got no rap songs, and his homies the Saudis, sheiks in charge, ain't got no rap videos, but they got all the long bling in the world and the power and the influence to top it off. I mean, King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia came over, met up with President Obama, told him, hey, you know what? We will prop him up if you try to force change over there. Like, look, this is our dog here. We done robbed many people and exploited many people together. We go a long way back in the exploitation game. You don't know nothing about that. And we ain't going to let you take our homie down. They came and did. So, now, Mubarak is like, shit, my dog's got my back. Ain't no way in hell I'm stepping down. I mean, because before, a little uncertainty in the air because, you know, the United States can step in and drop some Marines and take his ass out. And then we'd be running that little part, not that we ain't getting a taste of it, but we'd be running that little part and getting a whole bigger slice of the pie. But his homie stepped up like, no. It ain't going down like that. We will cut you off. What? So now, people in Egypt, in battle, fighting for their rights, out there in the street, saying how they're discontented with their leadership, they want change, they are not going to get it. Not unless they're ready to go to war against everybody. Because, I mean, the gauntlet's been thrown down. When the real gangsters speak, everybody else shuts the fuck up. And the real gangsters have spoken. See, and I don't think people understand the gravity. When I say the real gangsters, you know, these are the folks that make decisions. You know, they are the king makers. They're the ones who prop up other dictators. No, not normally. I mean, because, you know, United States is in that cabal, but they're on a whole nother level of the game. I mean, you know, for Obama, who is basically a placeholder, you know, come over there and talk about, yeah, we need to do this, we need to do that. And Abdullah's like, nah, homie, look, let me explain it to you. This is how this goes. We do what the hell we want over here. You shut the fuck up and take it and like it. That's how we do it. Pretty much. I know it may have sounded nicer when you said it, but that's pretty much what they meant. I mean, these are the Saudi Arabians where your 9/11 terrorists came from. We haven't even shot a BB their way. I mean, the facts are the facts. The guys came from out of Saudi Arabia. You even heard a word or talk about it? Nope. We went into a country where it had nothing to do with it whatsoever. There was no connection whatsoever. Blew it all up, messed it all up, jacked the people all up. No biggie. But the country that had something to do with it, we did nothing. Like, well, we kind of know they came from there, but we need to holler at somebody else because we want our oil and we don't want y'all to crush us. which is pretty much what it is. I mean, what else is there to say? Nothing. Nothing at all. And that's the status quo over there in that area. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, how we have a different set of rules over here, like unwritten rules. For example, Ray J. You know, a lot of people knew him as Brandy's brother. Made a sex tape, got real famous. Paris Hilton made a sex tape, got really famous. You know, people put out sex tapes, they get famous. Over there, Muslim countries, you put out a sex tape, your ass gets put in jail. Case in point, Nasriel Erham, jailed for his sex tapes. He's one of the most popular stars in Southeast Asia, out of Indonesia. You know, front man for the band Peter Pan. Not that I know who they are, but I guess he's famous. Anyway, he was arrested after two homemade videos went through the internet last year, with him having sex with his actress and girlfriend and a popular TV host over there. Jail. No pass and go. No collected $200. No fame. Ain't no fame over there. Now, does one thing have anything to do with the other? Yes, no, maybe. The point is, when you look, the people over there, they're envious. I mean, they see the freedoms that we have, and they want to be able to make sex tapes too. It's not going down like that. They want to be able to pick their rulers, like their leaders, like they think that we pick our leaders, which is funny, because as we know, we have the Electoral College here, where we don't necessarily pick it, because they didn't believe in the popular vote, because they said that the populace lacked the intelligence quotient to be able to vote for a proper candidate, i.e., it allows you to keep you and your ilk in power. That's what the Electoral College is. And it's kind of sort of what goes on over there. They pick they handpick the people who are going to be in charge, sort of like we do here. We have the elections, and we supposedly vote in those people who are through the will of the people. But it always seems to be a certain group of people, and we have that monopoly, you know, our version of the Crips and Bloods, the Republicans and the Democrats. It's just not no little party out of St. Louis is not going to get a presidential candidate ever. St. Louis, Indiana, California, wherever. There's no blue leaf independent party that's going to come up with a candidate who can be elected. I mean, it wouldn't even matter. I mean, you could have someone that 20 million people want to vote for. Their ass cannot get into the system because that's how the system's geared. But in defense, those people who are out there in the streets of Egypt, hey, they think, you know, we fighting for the freedom so that we be able to pick our leaders like they think that we do. It's a disconnect somewhere. I mean, you know, maybe we'll get together one day and we'll be able to pick through the will of the people who we really want to be in power. Maybe we won't. I don't know. And on that note, we're going to go for another commercial break, song break. This is my boys, HISD, Houston Independent Spit District. Only a Fool, off their album, The District.
Yeah.
Only a fool.
Only a fool try to step to this.
Like fools before me.
So get your mind right.
I always think.
And don't get it twisted.
My heart.
Cause it's never that. Ladies and gentlemen.
Try to steal. number.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. That was HISD, Houston Independent Spit District. Only a Fool off their first album, The District. D-I-S-T, The District. I can spell. Speaking of spelling, there was a UK man with a low IQ who was banned from having sex. I guess his local council decided that his vigorous sex drive was not appropriate and he didn't understand what he was doing. I guess over in the UK, High Court Justice Nicholas Mostyn agreed that Allen did not have the mental capacity to understand the health risks and should not have sex with anyone. I guess this case began in June 2009 when the local council started court proceedings to restrict Allen from having contact with another man who was identified as Kirion. I guess they had been having sex, and it was deemed due to his lack of intelligence to make decisions for themselves. They shouldn't be able to have sex. You know? They also, over in Britain, they have a court of protection that can make decisions based on lack of intelligence for people in order to have them undergo surgery, have abortions, be forced to use contraception, and even have life support switched off. So, why I bring this up? I mean, the fact that we're talking about government having the right to, one, label you according to your IQ. Now, we know, especially with the headlines we've been getting here in the United States about the American public in general not being that intelligent. And this was a guy over in the UK who IQ was at 48. And I guess you come to that 48 per test. Now, being the conspiracy theorist that I am, you look at how here in the United States, you have tests now in a lot of the states in order for you to graduate from high school. Every year they have IQ tests. Do y'all see where I'm going? Eventually, you could see something coming about where they question, use this word again, your intelligence quotient. And using the empirical data that they'll gather, using your test scores, they'll be able to say that you are mentally handicapped per the precedent that has been set over in the UK to stop you from engaging in sexual relations, to force you to wear contraceptives, or use contraception, i.e. that, you know, they got all these different shots they can give you to make you impotent, so that you can't spread your seed. Now, I know some folks think, man, how you can get that far with that, it's not that far-fetched if you think about it. If you use IQ tests like they've used before, hell, you know how our legal system is? You can sue on just about anything, and it's all about setting precedents. So if you show a precedent had been set in another country, another civilized country, our so-called sister brother country, England, hey, why not have it here? It's not that inconceivable. It could come true just like that. And all of a sudden, all you people who didn't think school was important, didn't think testing was important, they'll throw an IQ test on you, deem you unfit, bam, you can't have sexual relations no more. And if you try to have sexual relations, we'll put you in jail / concentration camp per our police state. I can see that. Some people may not see it. I can see that. These things have a way of coming to light out of the blue. You remember when you hear something like that happen? Remember Dick was talking about it? Like, damn, Dick is a prophet. Nope. Just somebody who pay attention to the trends every now and again. Sort of like, Robert Ford. Robert Ford is a politician who said, and he's out of that forward-thinking state, South Carolina. You know, we've been talking about South Carolina all night here because of their license plate. And, of course, down in South Carolina, they have the Klan Museum and other historically relevant places, sites, you know, that are must-see for people like myself. Got to be there. Anyway, Robert Ford, in commemorating Black History Month, I must say that Robert Ford is a black man. He came out and said that we must have Mexicans. We have to have Mexicans in the state of South Carolina. Why? Because he said African-American men are lazier than Mexican men. He said, brothers won't work hard like Mexicans will. So we need to make sure enough Mexicans are here. We need these workers here. A lot of people aren't going to do certain types of work in this country. The brothers are going to find ways to take a break. Ever since this country was built, we've had somebody do the work for us. Senator Robert Ford, straight out of South Carolina, spitting knowledge, dropping knowledge like the exquisite, grand, intelligent historian that he is. Brothers won't work hard. Okay. That's why we need the Mexicans to exploit. I mean, isn't that kind of what he's saying? Because you can't exploit the black folks any longer. We need somebody new to exploit. Along them lines. I guess he's being honest, though. Two thumbs up for that. I mean, some folks wouldn't have the cojones to say it, for lack of a better word. But Robert Ford, he put it out there. Yeah. I mean, even though this is the same man who in 1999 stood in the Senate and described a Confederate event called a ghost walk that took place in Charleston. He called it a respectful heritage meeting, because these were people who were in love and had love for their heritage and culture. Now, I'm sure there are a few people who would disagree. I would be one of them. And I'm sure there are a few other folks who would emphatically agree with me and disagree with Mr. Ford here about culture and heritage. I believe I talked about this earlier. You know, the culture and heritage is basically fighting for the cause of the rich and the wealthy. And they use your ignorant racist views and stoked your fires of superiority to get over on you. That's the culture and the heritage in a nutshell. It just, you know, the politics of hate and ignorance that are out here is appalling, actually. I mean, and we spend a lot of time talking about things that aren't important. Case in point, real quick, we have an infrastructure problem here in America, a U.S. water infrastructure problem. Pipes are old. I mean, we've got pipes 70, 80 years old, and our civil engineers here in America give it a grade, our nation's drinking water system, give it a grade of D- in the 2009 report card of America's infrastructure. Now, it's more sensational to talk about people who talk about racist stuff, but I think we'll agree that running water and pipes that work are a tad bit more important than the so-called racist stuff. I mean, because being that we have the Second Amendment right to bear arms, I can protect myself against said racists. If said racists try to do something to me, I can pull out my gun and shoot them. Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do for our troubled water infrastructure. Supposedly, our tax dollars are supposed to go towards that. And remember, every year we hear about we're gonna fix our infrastructure. We've got leaking pipes to the effect where we have 7 billion gallons of wasted water daily, which will cost $334.8 billion over 20 years. No biggie, right? Just another drip in the bucket. But it's all in what's important and what's not important. And on that note, I'm going to get off of here. I'm going to thank y'all for listening. I'm Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama. I am out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
Smooth.
Drama.